good early and or middle, but not late evening Indianapolis. It is, yeah, it's me. It's Dan. And I know today is April the 1st, and I know that you'll think that I'm going to fool you, but I don't intend to. If you're fooled by what I'm about to say, that's up to you. I'm gonna tell you right now, this has been a really weird week for me. A really, really tough week. I'm not, you know, FYI, as sort of the boilerplate that you have to get out of the way, I do not in any way, on any level, consider myself a great sailor. I basically tried to teach myself to sail in 2009. I went out a few times. I did the same in 2010. It turned out that those ended up being very rough years for me from a, I would say, whole life perspective, you know, a spiritual, mental, how you're living your life perspective. And I never became that great at it, but I ended up sensing something that I enjoyed about it. And the truth is, if I could go sailing today, I would probably go sailing. Although today is actually, you know, so windy, I don't know if I'd want to go out. But, I'm actually a bit of a timid sailor. I enjoy the light wind. If I can go, you know, 2 to 3 knots, I think I'm happy. You know, it's like my brother-in-law would say, if you can just sort of cruise in a summer evening, you know, with a glass of wine and, you know, some cheese and whatever, well, whatever. That sounds really fucking like hipster bullshit to me, but fuck it. But there are sailing analogies that can be applied to life. And in a lot of ways, sailing is a powerful analogy for life because it is connected to a kind of a salient feature of life, that we exist in the world. It's great to have plans. I love plans. I come up with plans and schemes and theories all of the time. You ask people. It's like, does Dan have a theory for that? Oh, if he doesn't, he'll come up with one. And in some cases, it could be like a jackass theory. Like on purpose, it could be completely ridiculous. No, but the thing is, we live in the world. So we can have plans, but, you know, and this has been said by military theorists. You know, I don't know if it was von Clausewitz, but, you know, a military theorist once said that no plan survives first contact. And what that means is that once you engage in the world and battle, once you engage in the world and live in it, the plan itself is subject to change because the world is complicated. You know, no matter how we war game, no matter how we theorize and plan and scheme and simulate and model, no matter how precise we think our mathematics is, until somebody says better, the world is simply more complex. And this is something a lot of people don't want to accept because they want to believe that humans are omnipotent, that we are capable of wielding power that we once granted to the gods or to the god, depending upon your perspective. But I don't think we are omnipotent at all. And so when I look into the world, into nature, I see these responses, these reactions, and I recognize that it's necessary to make choices in response to the circumstance. So when the wind changes, you have to think about that. Like, you know, being in the irons, for example, is a good example of indecision. Being in the irons is where literally you're locked straight into the wind so that, you know, basically, without your foresail, and even sometimes with your foresail, you can't veer to the port or to starboard. You can't go, you know, the right or the left, or I think they had that reverse, but whatever. You can't go in any direction. You're basically in the irons. They call it in the irons because it's like being, you know, in handcuffs, so to speak. But once you grasp the wind, once you grasp the wind is a more proper way of describing it. Once you get hold of the wind, then it's a matter of how you want to hold on to the wind. Or from one perspective, how you want the wind to hold on to you. For example, when you're sailing into the wind, you're basically on attack. And when you're on attack, you're using something called laminar flow as your main form of propulsion. It's essentially how airplanes achieve lift. The keel of the sailboat, of the keelboat, actually provides something called lateral resistance. So essentially, the laminar flow pulls the sailboat slightly off direction of where you'd like to go, because you're always going at an angle, well, or actually maybe going where you want to go, but slightly off of an angle, the direction of the wind. Okay? But the keel keeps it from slipping too far, so you can actually get forward motion. And with a properly trimmed foresail and mainsail combo, sailboats can get awfully close to the direction of wind because of the nature of how they behave. Now, they obviously there's limits, and then you get into the irons. Life is like this to me. I think sometimes I find myself on a really good tack, and I'm making good time, and I'm going 5 knots, and I'm really happy, and the wind is steady, and all of a sudden, the wind changes. And it might not be random. Like, I might have been a better sailor. I might have paid attention. You know, sailors can learn the telltale signs of a wind change. They can look further ahead. They can check for birds in the sky. They can look out the direction of the waves. Good sailors can tell that the wind is changing before they have to trim the sail. I never quite mastered that, to be honest with you. And in life, I'm still working on it as well. I mean, I try to make the best decisions with the information I have. And as most of us have come to accept or realize, the information we have isn't necessarily that great. I'm going to take a sip of my Lagunitas IPA beer. Anyways, that's really gross, I know. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been a really, 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 really weird week. When I entered the week, I expected to embrace a kind of positive tack. It was a really positive wind, and it was actually, it was hitting me in a certain direction, but it was pulling me, and it was good. And then last night, there was a storm, and it became erratic, and it was impossible, and I drifted, and then this morning I gained whatever wind I could, and I headed for the shore. And of course, this is all metaphor, blah, 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 the whimsical musings of a madman. I can tell you that I have an office now, and you'd say to yourself, well, Dan, you have an office. That's wonderful. I can tell you that I have a big map on my wall, and you'd say, Dan, you have a map of the United States on your wall. Oh, that's amazing, Dan. That's kind of amazing. I can tell you that I technically have one employee I supervise, and so you know, in the universe of absurdity, it is kind of absurd, although it's not terrible. Actually, the relationship is more like mentor and project manager. So it's not really that like that, because it would be stupid if it was like, I'm your manager, blah. Anyways. But in truth, I have an office. I have an office. And in there, I wander into there and I do my work, and I'm trying to be a manager. I manage one person. I manage two products, really, that have several sub-products and variations and service. And I'm a manager. And again, for the life of me, I wonder, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is the scheme. The scheme, the whole scheme is ridiculous. And I don't mean where I work. I mean just the whole world these days. And when I think about it, one of the things I spend a lot of time doing, and frankly, most places I've worked, I've spent a lot of time doing this. I spend in my current role a lot of time massaging people's egos. It's like they come in and it's like, or I go talk to them, and it's like, hey, yeah, oh, that's not your fault. Sure. Oh, can I take that inconsistency and that discrepancy? Can I take that little fib and that dishonesty? Can I take that incompetency and that lack of study? Can I take the fact that you show little concern and that you were absent, and I roll that all up into a little pile of dough and add some chocolate chips and make chocolate chip cookies, you fuck. You know, and that's what I kind of want to say sometimes to people as I massage their egos. It's like, oh, you're okay. You're okay. You're not okay. If you're not okay, you should know that. I'm going to tell you that straight up. If you're not okay, you should know that. But at the same time, if you're a manager, you live in a paradoxical realm. And even though you'd like to tell people the truth all the time, you got to kind of focus on the positives, because it's not like hiring and firing is a kind of everyday affair. In a lot of ways, hiring and firing is like, you know, the whole situation with the college, you know, the college football draft, the draft for the football players into the NFL. It doesn't happen all the time. It happens like what, once a year? That's a lot like it. Or the Supreme Court. That's another example. That's what it's like for a lot of managers. You don't get to replace people that often, by decision. Now, involuntarily, you know, or just, you know, having people die, which is very sad. And, you know, I had nothing to do with it. But, anyways, yeah, massaging egos. And this whole fucking week, and frankly, all the Hillary Clinton nonsense. She's going to be investigated by Comey, and Comey's going to ask some tough questions, and what the fuck? Anyways, the main topic is this. I have this basic question of what I should do these days. Like, what sorts of commitments make the most sense? And it saddens me that one of the most important commitments of my life, I really fucked up, and that was my marriage. I can't tell you that every single thing about my relationship with my ex was my fault, but you know, in a lot of ways, it's not easy to take that away. So it's all part of the same picture to me. There's a part of me that wants to embrace life and say, what if I just decide to pretend? Guys, just for those of you out there who follow me, and I know there's not many of you, but for those of you who follow me because I'm a pragmatic kind of truthful guy, you're going to get pissed off at me because I'm going to get whimsical for a moment. I'm going to get whimsical, and I'm going to kind of take the position of Cypher from the movie Matrix, okay? But if you have the opportunity to be happy in some small commodity, in some small amount, like if you could choose to pretend to do the middle class job, whatever the fuck that means at this point in American history, and if you could pretend to believe in the middle class values and to watch the middle class TV and cheer on to the middle class teams and support the middle class, whatever. But to be honest with you, there's not much of it left, though, is there? The middle class. Maybe it's more of obedience. If you're just willing to obey and you think you're upper class or rich or just whatever you might think you are, I'm really just a hobo, so I think I'm a software engineer, but in a lot of ways I'm just a hobo. In a lot of ways, the Reilly Towers is just a flop house. It means a wonderful flop house and it's expensive, but it could be it's like the modern equivalent to the halfway house, the place where the bums live because there ain't no other place to live for them, you know? Though that sounds awfully mean. It really isn't that bad, but This is a bad week. I want to drift towards an island called hope and joy and love and relationships and connections. I want to believe there's somebody out there who can put up with a person like me. And truthfully, I thought I found one once. And I thought it, and I think in all honesty, it was unfair to expect anybody, including that person, to put up with me, because it's just not easy. And there are a great many things I do need to work on. But you know what? They're not going to just all change overnight. And it's very complicated. The bottom line is, I'm basically who I am at this point. There are little changes that will occur. I will drift in certain directions. I will trim the sails in certain ways. I intend to, because I want to be a happy person. But I'm not changing course. I'm simply responding to the environment. I don't know. And this is really an introspective kind of drift into the dark realm of sort of prosaic, halfway bullshit, nonsensical, kind of quasi-philosophical, trivial, sophomorish kind of drip, drip, drip in the face. I don't know, man. Emo crap. It's all bullshit. My life is bullshit. I love it. I am not depressed. I mean, I get depressed sometimes, but I'm really not that depressed these days. I actually have some friends, and I have things that make me happy. And the list is reasonably long, although I had to scratch the Heidelberg House off the list, and that's kind of fucking depressing, given how wonderful that fucking restaurant was if you lived in Seattle, in the Ravenna neighborhood of Seattle. That was an amazing restaurant, the Heidelberg House, and it's closed down. Thank you very much. Anywho, it's not easy. But you know what? You can drift down that hole and you can say to yourself, there's nothing but the darkness. You know, all philosophers begin there. They begin at solipsism. I am alone. No one else is there. Everything else is an illusion. Those people who come up to me and say they're people just like me, they're not. They're fake. They're an illusion. That's called solipsism, the belief that you exist but nothing else exists in the universe. And it's just everything around you, whatever it might be, it doesn't really exist like you do. You exist and nothing else exists. In a lot of ways, a solipsist is a sociopath, because if you think of the world the way a solipsist does, then basically nothing has value. Because basically, you're the definer of value, so what does it matter? You're hungry, you eat something. You're happy, you say hello to somebody. You're sad, you yell at somebody. Or maybe if you're angry, you do that. I don't know. Some people do both. So solipsism is sort of the first gate of the philosopher. And in a lot of ways, solipsism is the first gate of the human that gets stuck in an existential crisis. And they can escape from it by making assumptions. Like, you know what? I actually do think people exist, but I'm going to study them and understand them. That's constructive. We need to move beyond the closed notions. We need to move beyond the paradigms we're stuck in. At this point in human history, if we're sort of drifting towards the reefs because we've made certain kinds of decisions, we need to throw the map off the ship. It's a bad map. The map is broken. Anywho, this has been like a really ridiculously whatever, and you guys need to know, you need to know one thing. It's Friday night.